Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61. Featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for visiting Booth 61. I am Ricky Steele, and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources, Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. One great piece of news or excitement for me is, I've mentioned the last several weeks, this is the 15th anniversary of Hunter Technical, and next Wednesday I have the four original partners who are going to talk about the experience and the changes they've seen in the last 15 years in the IT staffing world. But enough about that. We have a very exciting show for you today, and we're going to jump right in. But before we do that, I need to introduce my good friend and a person who really makes this show what it is today, Kevin Finn. Kevin is the producer, master control. He is an expert at doing what he does, but he also hosts a number of shows on Business Radio X. He's a very versatile gentleman. Kevin, thanks for having me again here.
Thank you, Ricky. I always love those introductions. You always really praise me and you're kind to me. So, but this is your show.
Well, you were very, very good. Did you catch the ball game last night?
I did. That was the most amazing ball game. I didn't expect the Heat to win or pull it out there right at the end.
Well, my daughter lives in Miami, and she called me every 4 seconds and said, "Dad, can you believe it? Can you believe it?" I said, "Yes, because I'm in bed. I've got to get up early in the morning." but nonetheless, it was quite exciting.
I heard that there were about 2,000 fans that left with 30 seconds left to go in the game. And then they, not 30 seconds, but like a couple minutes left to go, they left. They were like, "It's over." And they were all pounding on the glass trying to get back in, and they had to call the cops on them.
Once out, always out. Well, I'm very excited about today's show on multiple levels. As you know, our goal for Booth 61 is to build community and to allow the rising tide to lift all of the boats. There are very few people in our community who have not done this any more effectively or passionately than my guest today. She has been at the forefront of the technology community for the last 20-plus years, not only as a successful business person, but also as a community leader, being involved in the not-for-profit community on multiple levels. Joan Herbig is the CEO of ControlScan, an entrepreneurial company actually originally backed by some friends of mine down in Columbus, Georgia, Total Technology Ventures, part of the original Columbus Bank and Trust and Total Systems. Joan has been active in the technology scene, as I said, for over 20 years. I could talk about Joan's accomplishments for the next hour, maybe 2 hours, but I'd much rather you hear from Joan individually about what she's done and accomplished. One additional comment, Joan is on the board of TAG and served as the chairman during a real growth period for the organization. Many of you remember that we had Tino Mantello a couple of weeks ago on the show, and Joan was really instrumental in taking TAG from where it was at the time. I'm not going to say it had grown stagnant, but I'm saying that it had perhaps some challenges, and Joan was really the catalyst to making sure that those changes became positive and the organization continued its growth to the 20,000-some-odd members today. Anyway, without further ado, welcome to Booth 61, Joan.
Well, thanks, Ricky. Happy to be here.
Well, it's always great to spend time with you, and I don't seem to get enough of it. And occasionally we see each other in the community at events, but you stay very busy, and we're going pretty fast over on this side of town as well.
Absolutely. Well, I'm happy to be here. Got to get a little used to this radio thing, though.
Well, it's as we say, within a few minutes, we'll forget we're on the radio and we're just kind of sitting over at Jeff McConnell's house having a glass of wine and
sounds good.
Talking about the community. Joan, you're one of the most respected people I know in the Atlanta technology community. And when the name Joan Herbig is mentioned, people immediately pay attention and eyebrows are raised. And as I said, it's been my joy to have known you for many, many years. However, based on your history, I know that your life has a major conflict and a kind of a problem area to it. You have a BA from the University of Louisville, a basketball powerhouse, and you also have a master's from the University of Kentucky, much better known for their basketball team than their football team. Who do you root for when you get to the basketball season?
Well, Ricky, let me answer that question by telling you a little bit about myself.
All right.
I was actually born in Louisville. I'm the fourth of five children, and my father was the first in his family to go to college. He went to the University of Louisville, and he played football there. He ended up joining the University of Louisville as the vice president of financial affairs and led them from being a private university to a state university in the 80s. And he also is a member of the Athletic Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And was responsible for helping recruit some of the coaches like Denny Crum back in the day. So from being a very young girl, I grew up on Louisville basketball and football. So when it comes to Kentucky and Louisville, the choice for me is very, very simple. Plus, I would be excommunicated from my family if I didn't move in that direction. So we were thrilled with the Final Four taking place here in Atlanta and with our team winning. It was great.
It was an amazing season.
It really was. My daughter's a Bulldog, but she tweeted that day, she said, I became a Bulldog at 18, but I was born a Louisville Cardinal. So that's kind of how it floats in my house.
And I think, if I recall, your husband's a graduate of the University of Louisville
as well.
He
is, too. He's a mechanical engineer, so we live and die by Louisville sports.
So the University of Kentucky is just a byproduct of a master's degree. Everything else is all red Cardinals.
Exactly. I do love Kentucky in my own way. But I definitely pull for Louisville.
That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, sure.
How did Atlanta win the Joan Herbig Lottery?
Well, I came to Atlanta because of my husband. He worked for IBM out of college, and we ended up moving around a little bit. And that's actually how we ended up first starting out in Raleigh, North Carolina, which was great, Research Triangle Park. And it's there that I actually first started to think about computers and PCs were coming into the marketplace. He got transferred to Lexington, hence my involvement with the University of Kentucky, and much to my family's chagrin, but it was an hour away, so that was a consolation. And then he was transferred to Atlanta, and that's how we came here 26 years ago.
Well, Louisville and Lexington's loss was certainly our gain, no question about that. Why don't you walk us through the movement that you've been through as a technology executive and CEO since moving to Atlanta, and maybe talk about some of the companies and kind of the process. I don't know if you noticed that Tom Darrow mentioned he was involved in the early days of ExcelNet when you came on board there and eventually led that organization up until now as CEO of ControlScan.
Okay. So we came to Atlanta, as I said, about 26 years ago. And at that point, I had just gotten my master's degree from the University of Kentucky. And actually, my daughter was born 1 month after we moved here. So first child, a new degree, and an opportunity ahead of me. And the first company that I went to work for was a company called Digital Communications Associates.
DCA.
Yes, the IRMA board. And I worked there for about 7 years, Ricky, and it was a great experience for me on a number of levels. The first thing is that every year I had a new opportunity. The company was growing quickly, and they loved to promote from within. So I went from answering the phone and customer support, looking at the IRMA boards, which had a blinking green light to indicate whether they were working or not, to moving into a marketing role, then product management, then ultimately international product management. I had my second child while I was there. I took some time off to do that. But I love the culture. I love the people. And in fact, I'm still great friends with many of them. We have a dinner club that will be celebrating our 19th anniversary this weekend.
Wow.
With my friends from DCA. So DCA provided a fabulous foundation, both from an experience, but mostly from how do you build a company that has a culture that involves people and that people want to be a part of. DCA was sold in 1994 to a Seattle-based company called Attachmate. And at that time, I had an opportunity to move to Seattle, but had already fallen in love with Atlanta and decided instead to go to ExcelNet. And I went to ExcelNet as an international product manager and had the opportunity to eventually move into a VP of marketing role. So my career path was in the marketing world, although I'd never studied marketing or, for that matter, any business courses, but I was a French undergraduate and a computer science master's, and so I think the combination of the right brain, left brain led me to marketing. Eventually, ExcelNet was sold, and I had the opportunity as part of the company that acquired Excellinet to move into the role of president of the division of the company that acquired us, which was Sterling Commerce. And Ricky, I like to say that I was really the last man standing. They came to me, and you know, most of the executives had made money and left the company, and so I was kind of the last person there that they could ask to take this role. And honestly, I thought about it for about 5 seconds, and I said yes, because I realized that even though I knew I was woefully unprepared to take on a role to lead the broader group, which included sales and development and customer support and finance, that it would be a tremendous opportunity. And should I fail, at least I would have tried. And so that's what happened. The company eventually spun out of Sterling Commerce. We went out to the marketplace and raised private equity money and brought in a private investor who then allowed us to take the company back, rename the company Excellinet, and go back into the market with a new solution around the mobile play. Mm-hmm. And we were fortunate enough to run that business for 4 years and had a successful exit. We sold it to Sybase. So that was my first CEO role. After that, I went to a venture-backed company called Cambia Security in the enterprise security space. Ended up merging that company with another security company about 2 years later, and then came to ControlScan. And that was 5.5 years ago.
I would not have thought it was that long.
Yes. It some days it feels like yesterday, and some days it feels like years and years ago.
Mm-hmm. DCA, for those that aren't old-timers in the Atlanta community, most people point to MSA as being kind of the godfather, but a tremendous amount of really smart people like yourself came out of DCA as well and are still active in the community with different businesses, entrepreneurial and otherwise. So it was a great company for the city of Atlanta.
It really was. And Bert Nordine, who was the CEO when I hired on, actually was on my board at Excellinet. So it was really fun to reconnect with him and take advantage of his expertise later on as I was moving into various roles. And then, of course, Gary Betty was very influential at DCA and a big part of the culture of the company. So I enjoyed working with both of them.
And another Columbus, Georgia boy.
Yep. You're right.
Jordan High School. We didn't live very far. We didn't know each other. Years later, we put together all the pieces, but a great man and a tremendous loss to our community.
Absolutely.
Without any stretch of the imagination. But anyway, one thing I noticed on the website as I was kind of putting together my show notes, almost every one of your senior executives has worked for you somewhere before, whether Excellinet or Cambia or what have you, Jethro and others. That's pretty interesting. And so it seems like when you go to a new organization, you kind of come in with your team. I've always believed that great leaders attract great talent, but getting that talent to move is a whole nother story. So what is your secret on not only attracting the great talent you've attracted over the years, but partnering with them and bringing them from one place to another as you move in your career?
Well, I think, Ricky, that you need both people that you know to form your team, but also new people. So we really work hard to attract some of the same people who we form partnerships, but also infuse new ideas.
New blood.
At ControlScan, Jethro Felton, who's been with me now at three companies, and Steve Robb were with me. Steve was at Excellinet as well. And I've really enjoyed working with both of them. And I love the idea of when you go into a new venture, especially at ControlScan, where we were doing a major pivot from what the company had been doing to something new. I like the idea that we knew how each other worked and that they understood my strengths and my weaknesses and that we complemented each other from that perspective. So it just allows you to move more quickly. And I think the other thing that's important, the other two members of our senior team, Heather Foster, who's VP of Marketing, and John Fasano, who has a long history in the payments world. Both are people I did not know before they hired into ControlScan, and they both have made a significant contribution. And they both actually, I was introduced to them through networking, which is how I love to meet people and eventually hopefully bring them into the company.
Well, Jethro is someone I think I've met maybe once or twice but do not really know. But he's another one of those names like Joan Herbig that when somebody says Jethro Felter, whoo, they kind of back up because he's such a wise individual and someone that really knows probably sales as well as anyone in this community.
Yes, he does. And he's a bulldog, too.
I like that part.
Yeah, I like
that
part.
Hunker down, Harry Dogs, hunker down.
Yep. He's a good guy, and he is definitely a professional when it comes to sales. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to lead people. And he's the guy I turn to when I say, Jethro, we got to go get this deal. But we call him Fro, by the way.
Oh, just Fro, okay.
Just Fro, F-R-O. He does not like to be called Jethro. He says that's what his mother called him. So he is known as Fro.
I like Jethro Bodine, but then again, I like the Beverly Hillbillies. So
yeah.
A whole other world. But again, I don't think that I've met him but once or twice, but I just have great respect for what he's accomplished. And and the kind of people that I know that hold him in great respect. So you've got a heck of a good team. Well, what is the kind of the ambiance? What is it like in the office? What is the culture and the feel for what you've created at ControlScan?
We work really hard to create an environment of direct communication. We are very much a team that gets our hands dirty. I love reading your tweets and your Facebook post about doing your expense reports. I always find that very entertaining because it's usually at midnight that you're posting that, and then about 3 o'clock you'll say you've completed it for the last month. So I don't envy you that, but we're the type of people that do our own expense reports, that answer our own phone, that make our own travel arrangements, and that, you know, just do anything that needs to be done to get the job done. And that's the kind of culture that we like. We like to know everybody's name. We like to know about their families. And we like to work hard to get the goal accomplished. And so I love the team at ControlScan. We've worked together really well, and I think we've accomplished a lot of things that I'm very proud of.
Well, that's good. It's funny you mentioned the expense reports because I did that all this past weekend. And I'm not going to say what month I was working on, but it was not in 2013.
Oh, my gosh.
So the CFO has not been very happy with me. But someone told me a long time ago, and I guess I've taken it too much to heart, and I need to back off a little. But he said, a great salesperson hardly ever turns an expense report. A pitiful salesperson turns it in that afternoon.
Gotcha. Well, I think you must be a terrific salesperson.
I don't know about that, but I sure hate turning them in. But anyway, we've mentioned a couple of folks. Anybody else on the team that you want to particularly give a shout out to?
Well, I'm joined here today by Stacy Holleran. And
certainly.
She's a newer member of our team. She's been here about a year and a half. But Stacy's a great example of somebody who has been able to come in and really move the needle. And that's one of the things you love to see. And it's somebody who comes into the organization is how much impact can they have and change the way we think about things. So Stacy helps us on all of our thought leadership. As a small company, you want to always appear bigger than you are in the marketplace. And she's done a great job. Last week, we released our annual mobile study. So we're always studying trends in the marketplace around payments, specifically as it relates to how merchants engage with mobile technology. And we've had great response to that. So really appreciate being able to attract people of that caliber who can make a big difference, and Stacy's a great example of that.
How did you find Stacy?
We found Stacy through networking, and
I like networking.
I
think people ought to
do.
Use it every once in a while.
Yeah, in fact, there's a book I've heard of on networking written by a certain gentleman. But yeah, networking is the way to go. And Stacy, we met her through the community.
Well, I've had the privilege of working with her the last couple of weeks and arranging you to be here, and professional, on time, on spot, and was always waiting on me to respond. I was never waiting on her. So, Stacy, we're glad to have you in the studio today.
And one thing I wanted to mention, Ricky, you said what are the characteristics? Why do people come back, or mm-hmm. why do we continue to work together? And I really think it all comes down to trust. People aren't perfect, and we make mistakes, and people acknowledge that we make mistakes. But I think if you trust that people are always aligned in terms of values and goals and direction, that's why we like working with one another, and that's a common theme.
And I think that trust evolves into respect, and when you respect the person that's beside you, you pretty much go against – you'll go into battle with them arm in arm and not be afraid of anything that's ahead of you. And I think that's a great point. Thank you. Thank you, Joan. You mentioned a few minutes ago, and something I want to dig into a little bit. I think last year you acquired another Atlanta-based company, CRE Secure, and you integrated the CRE product into Control Scan's portfolio of offerings. How has that transition been for you?
It's been great. CRE Secure is a company that was a TTV, who's one of our initial institutional investors. It was one of their portfolio companies. We've known the company for a long while. They provide a set of technology that is particularly relevant to our customers. Our customers are merchant service providers, companies like Global Payments, Merchant Warehouse, TransFirst. Those are customers of ours who are looking to Control Scan for a complete set of solutions around security and compliance as it relates to the payment space. The CRE Secure product allows them to help their merchants become e-commerce enabled very rapidly, and CRE Secure brought to the table a couple of very important partnerships for our company, customers that we will use as a springboard for other services. So the integration has gone very well. As you might expect in early stage companies, there's always opportunities. And I think the partnership between Control Scan and CRE Secure was great because we had established development organizations and technology people and sales and process that we could immediately bring to bear that has really helped them and the products that are now our products raise the bar for their customers. So it's been very, very effective. You always find challenges in integrating companies. There are cultural challenges. There are challenges associated with just the people side of things. But we, I think we've done a relatively good job. And now a year later, it's been a year, we're really satisfied with the results and excited about the future.
How many people did they have on their in their company at the time?
They had just about 25 people.
And the merged company end up with about the same number, or?
We today at Control Scan
some consolidation?
A little bit of consolidation. We have about over 100 people today.
Well, the fact that I did not know they were also a TTV company, the combined heritage with the Gardners and Mark Johnsons and Tom Smiths and all the folks that the Brainiacs involved at TTV, I guess that probably gave you all a common vision and a common purpose, because they saw something very positive in both companies. Otherwise, they would have invested to begin with. So that had to be a positive.
Yes, it was. And TTV is a big reason why I'm at Control Scan, by the way. I met them after having sold the last company, Cambia, and didn't know them before in the Atlanta community. But as you said, they're very involved in the payment space. And have a terrific reputation, and we've had a fabulous working relationship. And Mark Johnson actually was a member of the Control Scan board prior to joining TTV. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I met Mark through TAG, which is another networking success story. So Mark served as chairman the year before I did, and we got to know each other through that. And as he was selling Fiserv and thinking about other boards that he could join, I suggested to him that he might enjoy Control Scan. He said, you know, I think I would. And so we got together, and then some months later, he ended up joining TTV. So I ended up being surrounded by TTV at my board meetings, and ultimately we ended up raising a Series B and bringing in some new directors, and still have a great board of directors that work with us.
I mentioned a number of folks. I didn't mention Sean Banks, who's another great TTV guy that I think Sean is on your board, if I recall.
Sean is, yes. And, yes, he is.
Sounds like a repeat of a Monday night, first Monday at Jeff McConnell's house with Sean and Mark and you. And I'm not sure Gardner's ever been, but a lot of the same folks,
yep.
You know, the payments crowd. You've been extremely active in the Atlanta startup community, which, of course, includes mergers and acquisitions, as you did in this last one. Give us some of your insights into kind of your whole interest in, is there more acquisitions on the front? What are you looking to do as the next step as you continue to grow ControlScan?
We see opportunities to grow the business by expanding our product set, which we can do by acquisition, and we also see the opportunity to expand geographically. So we're looking at acquisitions that help us in both of those areas. We also are investing a lot in the existing product lines that we have, and we'll continue to grow organically through those. So we have lots of opportunities for growth.
Well, that's exciting for all of us in the community as we continue to build Atlanta into having Jeff McConnell, our dear friend, a couple of weeks ago on the show, Atlanta's becoming a payments and a security hotbed across the country, and you're in the middle of both those worlds.
Yes, I was talking to a potential investor yesterday, and she said, are you in the payment space or the security space?
Yes.
Exactly. That's what I said. The answer is yes. Which one do you want? But we like that position because we see both of those markets being continuing importance, and we think we're in a great spot.
And it's only going to continue to grow.
Exactly, yeah.
I love what Jeff's doing at Whisper. Hopefully that's going to be a great success story as well. Something we talked a little bit briefly earlier before we came on the air, you are a tremendous leader, period. But we all know that you're a tremendous female leader. And you're a mom and a wife and involved in a lot of things. But having two daughters and being married and all of the time constraints, what is your advice for women in our community who have an entrepreneurial spirit? I think men could use the same advice, to be quite honest, but for women that have an entrepreneurial bent, how do you gauge all that or keep all the balls up in the air?
I would say two things. The first thing is I would not have a grand plan. I would listen to things that come your way and take risk. Raise your hand, accept the offers that come your way, even if you think they're going to lead you in a direction that you may not think makes the most sense. Because ultimately, it's through those experiences that you find out what you're going to want to do. And I think that overly planning your career and expecting a certain progression by a certain point leads you to make decisions that aren't always the best. So, raise your hand, take risk. I hate the phrase lean in, but I really believe in taking advantage of the opportunities. And the second thing is about a mindset related to being a female in a technology or even an entrepreneurial world. I think that it's a tremendous advantage. I'm often asked, do you feel like you've been discriminated against? Has having been a woman in a traditionally male-dominant field, has that been a disadvantage? And for me, I think it's been a tremendous advantage because you have a uniqueness, and it affords you opportunities that you may not otherwise have. So I think that women have great opportunities in this field. I sit on the advisory board of the computer science department at the University of Kentucky, and I am amazed that this number of years later, there are still only 17% of the class is female, just because women don't see this as an attractive career path for them, and I'm amazed by that. So I'm very passionate about making sure that women know that these careers in the technology field can lead to lots of different opportunities, not necessarily just sitting behind a desk and programming.
I agree. I had lunch yesterday with Carrie Wheeler, the CIO at CBeyond, and talking about the STEM program at TAG. And Lord of mercy, we need lots of great talent in the community, but we certainly need a lot of great female, not only engineers, but executives and people who analytically see things perhaps a little differently and more empathetically sometimes. But I just commend you for what you've done and the success that you've had. Early this year, you joined the board of directors for WNET, which is the Women's Network in Electronic Transactions. Tell us a little bit about that organization and its influence within and beyond the payments industry.
So WNET was founded by several payments executives who We're looking for a way to promote women within the payment space. And actually, women within payments, I think, have had positions of influence for a lot longer than in some other industries, okay. So they've done pretty well. But these women were particularly interested in making sure that younger women had an opportunity to rise up and that they had mentors and so forth. And one of the things that's been exciting for me at ControlScan has been learning the payment space, because I'm not a payments veteran.
Okay.
Having been most of my career in enterprise software, this is a different world. And so I've really enjoyed getting to know the payment space, learning the various players, and being on boards like WNET affords you the opportunity to have personal relationships with some great women, but also navigate and learn more about the industry that we play in. So I'm a big believer in WNET. I love what the organization does. They have various populations in cities like Boston and Atlanta and Chicago, where they gather payments-related women together for events. And then we have a national event that's held here in Atlanta in September, a leadership event that I think is just a great way to network, but also hear from women and how they've been able to navigate certain situations in their career.
We just Clint Bailey and I just recently were at a golf tournament, WLA, Women's Leadership Association, which is mostly women in the payments industry, and Pam
Joseph
from mm-hmm. First Data, or from Citibank, or U.S. Bank.
Right, U.S. Elevon.
Mm-hmm. Elevon, out at Chateau Alain, raised a lot of money. It was a great event, and the work they're doing in the orphanages over in Africa is just absolutely amazing. So it's great to see what women leaders are doing to make the world a better place, not just the five counties surrounding Atlanta, Georgia.
Absolutely. So. And Pam has been a big supporter of WNET as well. So that's great. I'm not a golfer, but I understand that it's a fabulous event.
Well, it's a fabulous event, and I'm not a golfer either. But Clint played golf during the day, and then he went home, and I stayed and had dinner with Pam and some other folks, Marianne Gordon and others. And it was just a great event, and a lot of money was raised, and that's quite exciting. So as I mentioned briefly at the beginning, you're a longtime contributor to TAG, or the Technology Association of Georgia, and you served in many roles. You're still on the board, but you actually served as chairman. What accomplishments are you most proud of in relationship to your work at TAG? And I know that is a long list, and you're going to be more modest than I would want you to be. But what are some of the things that came up about your year in TAG?
Well, Ricky, I do want to correct one of the things you said, because I don't feel like I was the pivot person for TAG getting back on track. There are a lot of people in the community who contributed significantly to that. And I think first and foremost was bringing Tino on board and moving the organization in a different direction. By the time I was chairman, I believe the organization had already a great foundation. What we were able to do during that year, though, was significantly expand membership. We launched the Premier membership during that year, which has been very important to attracting a lot of tech-enabled and other technology companies, as well as the government relations piece. So being able to influence both state, local, and federal government around issues associated with technology as it relates to the state of Georgia, all about bringing more awareness to the opportunity that technology brings to our economy here in this state, which I think is tremendous. And so I'm very proud to be associated with TAG. I feel like there's been tremendous growth since the time that I was chair. We've expanded statewide. There are a lot of initiatives going on in that direction, a lot of great entrepreneurial initiatives. So I continue to be very, very happy to be part of that organization.
Well, there's always got to be a chairman and somebody overlooking it, but I agree a lot of great people were involved, but you were a dynamic leader and still are a dynamic leader. I do know that the growth, I was talking to Heather, and there's now a Columbus chapter with 150-some-odd folks, many of them from Total Systems or TSYS.
Mm-hmm.
And now Heather is – I'm actually going to spend some time with Heather in Athens and get an Athens chapter off the ground.
Well, there you go.
Spending a lot of time in Athens, as you well know. You're still involved with TAG on the board, but you're also involved in some committee work as well, if I recall.
I am. I have been on various committees, finance committee, which is not my strength, but I enjoyed that. And more recently, I have been working on the business launch competition. For 2 years, I chaired that committee. This year, SIG did. We just had the event last month, which was a great event, but it's an event where we bring three or four companies going through a complete process to vet the companies, and ultimately somebody's selected as the winner and they receive a $50,000 check and lots of services that can help launch the company and bring a lot of visibility to them. So I think that's a fabulous way for a young company to get legs.
Something you just said, you've mentioned three or four different areas that weren't your expertise, but yet you've excelled in each of them. And I think that goes back to what your encouragement to entrepreneurial folks, women or men, is take a risk and get involved in some things that maybe is not your sweet spot, but you find if you work hard and with the right people around you, you will be successful, and you've proven that time and time and time again. We've talked about technological innovation, startups, M&A activity, and organizational leadership through TAG and others. What else inspires you? What, in addition to, I'm sure, your family, what else in the business world rocks your boat?
It inspires me to be around other people who are able to achieve remarkable things. I find that as years go on, I learn from everybody I talk to. In fact, today I was talking to a woman in our company who's a single mother, three sons, two college-aged, who is living in Douglasville but working in the contact center in Alpharetta, so she has a big commute every day. She teaches spinning two nights a week, and she is, you know, cooking and nurturing her three sons. And that inspires me, Ricky, for people to be able to blend what they do at work with their home life and create positive relationships and have an effect like that. That inspires me. So I love talking to people. I love the idea, and I would encourage, back to your point about getting outside your comfort zone, taking risk, the idea that every day you should wake up and at some point during the day you should have a knot in your stomach because you're doing something that makes you uncomfortable and that you don't really feel completely grounded in doing. But if you do that enough, eventually you're just going to get better and better and better. And so being around people who can help me see ways that I can get better is what inspires me.
Life, anything short of that would be pretty boring, wouldn't it?
It certainly would be. It certainly would be.
How do you keep growing personally and professionally and learning and pushing your personal comfort zone? I mean, you kind of touched on that then, but how do you prepare yourself when you got a business to run and a family to raise and then all your not-for-profit activities? As far as educational opportunities, how are you staying ahead of the curve?
Well, one thing I'll say is my children are now raised. I have two daughters, as you mentioned. One of them is actively working in the Atlanta technology community.
Oh, great.
The other one lives in Chicago. She's a nurse. She graduated a year ago. So one of the things that has freed up some of my time, I think, is the fact that my children are out of the house and on their own. But how I stay active and current is reading and, just staying involved and listening to as many people as I can about some of the current trends. Being part of the payment space has been, as I mentioned before, a big growth area and a huge learning curve. And I've enjoyed that. So I think once you have some of the basic skills, if you can throw yourself into new markets, that's an area where you can continue to grow.
Well, as the father of a 31-year-old, a 28-year-old, and a 26-year-old, they'll be back. You'll get the opportunity to spend a lot more time with them, I can promise you.
Yeah, that's probably true.
As a CEO multiple times, what has been one of the toughest lessons you've learned over the last, say, 10, 12 years?
I think that the toughest issues typically have to do with people and dealing with people. I met a gentleman a few months ago, and he told me a story that I thought was very interesting. He was a new manager, and he was having to manage someone who had been his peer, as sometimes happens when you're promoted. And this person was particularly difficult to manage. We all have those kind of people from time to time. And he had to deliver some pretty tough news to this fellow. And he said that he was so nervous about it that he ended up, he said, not my proudest moment, but I ended up taking a muscle relaxer in order to get myself comfortable enough to deliver this news. Now, I'm not sure I'd want to be taking muscle relaxers to do that, but I could empathize with the fact that sometimes people issues are really hard. So I think the biggest lesson for me is that we often, or sometimes even after years of experience, don't listen to our gut. And it takes us longer to make the tough calls than it needs to. And I think as you move up in organizations, as you take on bigger challenges, the key responsibility is to make the tough calls as decisively as you can. And that is one of the biggest learnings for me.
Ripping the Band-Aid off hurts, but it's over pretty quickly.
Yes.
And I've found that when I've had to make one of those tough personnel decisions, and you dread it, and you can't sleep, and you want to take muscle relaxers or whatever else you can possibly put in your system, 2 days after you do what you need to do, the whole company's a better place to work.
Absolutely.
It's just that doing it.
That's exactly right. And I think the other thing that I've learned, not related to people, but related to growing companies, is that it's all about the market. And as you think about entrepreneurial activities and you think about how you go about deciding what makes sense to do, looking very carefully at the market and understanding why people buy what you're selling is really important. Some people get enamored with an idea and they forget about thinking, how big is this market and how much are people really going to buy the product that you're trying to sell? So the people side and the market are the two things I think a lot about when I'm thinking about control scan.
Well, having spent a lot of time with you over the years, or some time with you over the years, you're a modest, humble person, giving the credit to others more often than not, and you've done it on the show already today. But what do you count personally as some of your greatest career achievements at Control Scan or CellNet or at any of the companies you've been with, Sterling or what have you?
I think I would say on a personal level, probably the biggest achievement is the ability to have been a mother and a working mother for all these years. Fortunate to have a husband who has been a partner with me, and I feel like being able to do that has been my greatest honor. From a business perspective, it has, you know, there have been challenges certainly along the way. There always are. We've had Excellinet in the early days. We signed our deal with the private equity firm in very early 2000, right before the markets crashed. We went through a couple of really tough years and a lot of very, very, very difficult decisions, but ultimately ended up building a company and having a successful exit. So I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of what we've done at Control Scan. We took a company that was selling in a completely different product in a completely different way and transformed it into a sales model that has grown aggressively each year. We've provided jobs into the Georgia market. We started out with 25 people. We have more than 100 people today. And we have a really great team of people and a great opportunity ahead of us. So I'm really proud of that. I love the investors that we've worked with. I love the fact that we've been able to raise money. And I think that all of those things bode well for continued growth and good things happening.
Well, that's that covers a lot of territory. You know, as you visualize and forecast the future, I won't say what's next for Joan Herbig because you're still very intimately involved in control scan, and you will be for some period of time. But where do you see your growth from here?
Well, you know, Ricky, I said I'm not a planner.
That's
so
right.
I don't have a grand plan for that. I don't expect I'll be doing this for the rest of my life, but I know that I'll somehow be involved in technology and early stage companies in the community in Atlanta. And that's what I know will be part of it, but I don't know exactly what or how, and I'm not really worried about that.
That's a good place to be, isn't it?
Yep, it is. Really well, is.
I don't know how, but 45 minutes have come and gone, and I feel like we could go another 45 minutes with just digging into some of the successes and more of the advice on things that didn't go so well. But, you know, as we begin to wrap up, what would you like to share with the audience? Some advice, words of wisdom, maybe warnings of situations that might be cropping up in their future? Just kind of overall advice you'd like to say as we get ready to close.
I would say the two things my daughters say that I always say to them. Number one is get outside your comfort zone. We talked about that today. And number two is wear sunscreen. It's very important to wear your sunscreen. But that actually relates to every day at lunch, practically every day, I go out and walk. I walk, you know, between 3 and 4 miles. And I do that because it clears my brain, it gets me out of the office, and I think that makes you better if you're not just driving, sitting behind a desk, talking on the phone, but you remove yourself, especially in the middle of the day. It will allow you to get a lot more done, ideas come to you. So that's where the sunscreen comes in, and so those are my two pieces of advice. Get outside, wear sunscreen.
I think everyone would be well advised to write both those down and live by them.
Okay.
The exercise certainly is important. What's the best way for the listening audience to get in contact with you personally if they want to call with an idea or maybe not call but email or just contact you and maybe something you said on the show particularly resonated with someone?
Sure. So I can be contacted at my ControlScan email address, which is jherbig@controlscan.com. And I'd welcome anyone who wants to reach out to me. I think it's a big part of what we do in this community. It's a really helpful community, wouldn't you say, Ricky? People go above and beyond. That's what one of the reasons that attracted me to stay in Atlanta all these years is the richness of this community. So I welcome any feedback or anyone who wants to reach out to me.
In addition, what's the best way to keep abreast of what's happening at ControlScan? I'm sure that Stacy's going to keep us abreast of everything that she possibly can, but how do individuals that are listening in, you know, stay on top of what you're doing as a company and where you're going? And, you know, sounds like there may be as you expand, you're looking for additional investment opportunities?
Yes. The best way is via Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter. You'll find us there at ControlScan. And Stacy's very active there, so we welcome lots of new followers, and on Facebook too.
And your web address is?
ControlScan.com.
ControlScan.com. Well, Joan, yep. Has been a pleasure and an honor to have you in the studio, and I wish you great success, and I know I'll continue to watch you for many, many years to come, and the community is a richer community because you're here, and I really thank you for being here with us today.
Well, Ricky, thank you. It's my honor to be here with you. I love your program, and I look forward to following all your posts over the next years. So thank you.
Well, my kids say, Dad, you're 60 years old. It's time for you to get off Facebook. But that's not going to happen, kids. It's just not going to happen. This is Ricky Steele, and I've finished my coffee in Booth 61. I hope you'll come back and join me for a fresh cup next Wednesday or by listening to past shows anytime at Booth 61 with Ricky Steele. Joan's show will be posted by Friday of this week, and I think this will be well worth downloading and listening to many times in the future. I always close our time together by sharing hopefully a blessing for you, for your family, and for your business. The blessing comes from the Book of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for dropping in. Join us next week for a fresh cup of coffee in Booth 61.